Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, Halflings, Jasper here with a quick update before we get into this week's episode, because we have some new patrons to thank. They are currently making use of all of the extra goodies that you can get over on our Patreon. That's patreon.com/TBHalflings if you want to find out more about that. But for now, we want to say a huge and heartfelt thank you to Vince, Casey, the incredible Jericho Rose, Naomi, and Isaiah. You are all fantastic. Thank you so much for your support. It is currently the only way we fund the show, and it really, really does mean a lot and is enabling us to make this show even better. You're all awesome and fantastic. I hope you have a wonderful day. Now, let's get into the episode. Hello, Halflings! It's me, Jasper William Cartwright, and with me today, as always, is...
Leandro Nati News Now, but everybody... That is not my name. Leandro Nati News Now, but everybody calls me Il Nati. I don't know who Newest is, but...
What
I feel like
newest?
You're getting repetitive strain.
Can you start swapping the letters of your... Oh, Leanda, no. Lunati, Newest, no. Liao.
Liao.
I think I'm just getting repetitive strain. I think it's because I keep trying to say it faster and faster and faster, and that's actually just not possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's try a quick experiment. I'm gonna drop you a beat, and then the beat will continue to get slowly faster. But you just try and rap your name over the beat. So
okay, here we go. In four pound. I can't hear the beat.
On mute. Hold on.
Leanda Unati Lewis Nyao. 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 Leanda Unati Lewis Nyao.
We got some air horns in there.
And then like, yeah! Yeah!
And with me, the incredible beatboxing.
Jeremy Cobb. But Lil Miss Epic calls me J-Store. A reference that I'm not sure if people will get outside of the academia in the United States. Do they use JSTOR in the... There you go, Unati knows. JSTOR is an internet database for, is it articles?
Journal articles, manner of... Jasper, you also had access to it at the Royal Central School of Speech and Drama. You may just never have used that feature while you were there.
Well, I'm gonna say it's safe to say Jasper has not used JSTOR. I just get a non-JSTOR vibe. When you said you used JSTOR, that made perfect sense. Jasper was like, oh yeah, dude, I'm hardcore JSTOR. Where do you think they got the J from?
Not a clue.
Yeah.
Not a clue.
No, I think they show you that one time in orientation on the first day, and then everyone completely forgets that you actually have access to all of the journals.
In high school and middle school, they kept showing us, we would have research days every year where we'd have to go to like the computer lab or the library, and the librarian would spend like 50 minutes showing us all of these different resources that almost no one ever used.
Referencing, you're giving me, like, you're triggering me, like I'm getting hives. I'm just remembering hours and hours of referencing on essays. Just
We have reached a hard veil or a hard line, and so therefore we're gonna end this scene and move on. Roll theme song.
Oh my god!
This is the wrong dungeon and the wrong dragon.
Full Prince vibe. Woof.
This makes them even more black.
Cake glitches and bitches.
lands in the cusp of a teaspoon.
Into something real big now.
I can say fully with my chest that even if someone had sat me down and explained it fully and properly and thoroughly, I still would have never looked at that. So it's just not
would
my
you
vibe.
Have really
so
needed to? Did you guys have to write much there?
No, it's a drama school.
Not,
it was really not bizarre really. That they even kind of showed it to us. Like, we never really needed it there. But I used to use it for my first degree, so just lots of...
How many degrees do you have?
I've got 2 degrees, 1 diploma, working on a third one. Working on a third degree.
Damn.
What's a diploma in this context? Because as somebody... I've lived in the UK, but the only diplomas that I'm familiar with that are separate from degrees are, like, at the A-level, like you can get a diploma and stuff from like a college in the UK?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's called a diploma. Like, I've got my FCP, like driver's license, my Final Cut Pro driver's license. The editing
section. Oh, right.
Oh,
yeah,
Final Cut Pro. I heard like Final Cut Pro.
Yeah, like, what's so a Final like, Cut Pro?
I just said it really quickly and I've got my South African accent back. So, like, I've just been doing loads of voiceovers and they all want my South African accent.
Does the South African accent drop T's? Because I was thinking it might have been an English thing. They use a lot of...
It's just that the mouth is just really relaxed and, like, really sort of sluggish and the vowels just take over everything.
Yeah. We use glottal stops in America as well, but I think we usually close our mouth at the end. So for our T's, we use glottal stops for most T's at the ends of words. But we, like, for instance, but, I didn't say but I said, and nor did I say but, I said but by closing my mouth. Whereas in English, a lot of English accents say either but or but.
But, yeah.
So, hello, Hufflings. We thought that today we would dig into... we had some fun suggestions, actually, over our Discord. So if you ever do want to suggest a topic, feel free to head over there and give us a suggestion. But we thought today we'd deal with conflict. And this can be in all forms, as there is many forms of conflict within... within D&D, and that could be conflict between a player and a DM. It could be between players themselves. It could be between PCs and gelling a party together. There is many different forms of conflict, and in a lot of cases, it can cause some icky feelings at the table, and sometimes you want to get rid of it. It might not be extreme enough for you want to sort of like fall back on a safety tool, but it maybe is something that needs to be addressed or something that you might want to know before you start a campaign or a story. And so we thought this would be a good place for us to go. So why don't we kick off, guys, talking about kind of like at the table conflict. So this could be a player to DM. So we're not in the narrative yet, but just sort of how to hedge our way around that. My instinct is that normally seems to come from like rule stuff. Although, of course, there's many conflicts that would arise. So I don't know if you guys have any examples or any things that you've maybe even seen.
This is an example. I have a story about shouting. I won't go into great detail. suffice it to say, Odati and Jasper have both heard this story. I won't tell the whole story now. I'll tell part of it, and maybe I'll meet the other bits out over time. But I was once in a game in which the DM, we were playing over Roll20, which was not that's not something that I use all that often. And I had used D&D Beyond to get access to like all of the different stuff from all the different books. So I was playing as an artificer. And the DM had not yet gained access to the Artificer class via Roll20. And there had been some tension in the campaign up until this point, but nothing like really like that I would call a conflict. But essentially, we had finally grown a level for the first time in this campaign. And while the DM was trying to work on growing the level, mine wasn't working. Everybody else's was, but for whatever reason, my character sheet just wouldn't grow a level properly. The DM spent like a good 20 minutes trying to get my character to grow a level properly, I offered, I was like, hey, I have access to this on D&D Beyond. I can just use that for the rest of the session and, like, you know, so that we can just keep going, because I have my character made on there as well. And he was like, no, I hate D&D Beyond. Let's not get into that. The reason for D&D Beyond made no sense. But anyway, the DM, I was like, we kept waiting. And finally, the DM was like, you're just going to have to, you're just gonna have to use your D&D Beyond character sheet. And I was like, are you sure? Because it had gotten so tense that I was like, look, I will literally switch classes if it's going to be this much of an issue. And I was like, are you sure? Because I can. And he literally went, use D&D Beyond, and like yelled at me. And the whole group was like, oh. Like, it got really uncomfortable. And we just sort of, he was like, moving on. And like, we played out the rest of the session. And I've never had an experience like that. Like, I was not antagonizing this person. I hadn't been mean to this person, hadn't been disrespectful to this person. And he went from like a 3 to like a 9, where it was just like, whoa,
very quickly.
Yeah, just very abruptly. It was an actual explosion. And how I resolved that, at least in the short term, was by immediately after the session messaging the DM and being like, hey, can I call you? fully preparing to be like, all right, look, I understand you may be stressed out, but this kind of treatment is absolutely unacceptable. If you treat me like that again, I'm quitting this game. But before I got a chance to say anything, the DM actually started apologizing profusely, saying that it was not my fault, that he feels very bad, and, you know, he loves having me in the game, et cetera, et cetera. So, in that particular case, we resolved that issue in the short term, by me confronting the DM about it. And had the DM not suddenly started apologizing, I wouldn't have gone in yelling at him. I would have just been very firm and said, look, I'm here to have fun. I didn't do anything to you that merited you treating me this way. That is unacceptable. If you treat me like that again, I'm going to quit. Like, never again. And honestly, if you're out there and something like this happens to you, you don't have to give them another chance if you don't want to. Like, you can just quit. That's absolutely fine. And honestly, if it's bad enough, you don't even have to wait till the end of the session. Like, if he'd kept going, then it might have been like, well, we got to resolve this right now. But it's about, I think it's about knowing your worth as a person and just saying, look, it's not acceptable for a person
keeping hold of the idea that this is a game and we are here to have fun. And so therefore, there is no need to ever for that kind of behavior to enter this, what should be ostensibly a safe space. Like, it has to be a safe space.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just a happy, fun game time.
Yeah. I guess just also, it's just basics, like sort of setting boundaries, right? Like, everyone has boundaries and there's certain social lines that you're not supposed to cross. And if we're beginning to cross social lines, and that even has, that goes beyond D&D. That's just like, if you talk to me like that while we were out at a restaurant, I would have words with you. Do you know what I mean? Like, there are the basic social things that everyone's supposed to do in polite society.
Yeah.
And you just set boundaries around that stuff. And if you're a person who kind of struggles to do that verbally, in that, like, you struggle to express your needs in a conversation format with somebody, know that it is perfectly okay to sit down and draft an email and state out your points. Like, and then if somebody chooses to gaslight you about, like, oh, why didn't you just talk to me personally about it, just explain to them that I struggle.
That's not something that,
Actually, you don't even have to explain that to them. Just be like, this is the chosen format that I would like to deal with in this. Like, this is how I would like to deal with this. That's
I feel
all.
Comfortable
That's
talking
and,
to you.
And
like
I think
this,
I think on that point as well, because I think, you know, it was funny, actually, we were having a conversation just off air now about the fact that me being so terribly British, I find it very hard to be straightforward and upfront with people because I get very anxious about, you know, upsetting someone or saying the wrong thing. And usually that ends to upsetting someone and saying the wrong thing. So I get very kind of worked up about how I say things instead of just being straightforward. So, like, there are scenarios in which you can, you know, ask for help, ask for players' help. I think that, you know, had I maybe been in Jeremy's position and felt anxious about the idea of saying something, I could well have gone to a fellow player and just said, hey, did you see what happened? You know, and you know, I feel like if a player came to me, say, Jeremy had asked me that, I'd feel a lot better going to the DM as removed, you know, and saying, hey, look, you can't say that. Do you know what I mean? Because it's not about me personally. So I don't think there's an issue going to a friend or someone else at the table and just checking in, because that also will help to validate the sensation you're having. Like if you felt that something's been not been handled particularly well, like, or, you know, there's been a moment like that. It'll be good to validate A, that you're at the right table, because if everyone else goes, that was totally fine, then you should probably just leave. That's a get out kind of situation. Do you know what I mean? That's a situation where you feel like, oh, okay, there's something in the basement that I need to be aware of, and I'm going to leave this group now.
Yeah,
I
would say if everyone in that game thinks it's fine, the next thing to do would be to go to somebody outside of the game and be like, yo,
yes,
hey, how does this sound? Just to make sure that this is not some weird one of those unfortunate situations we end up in where we're like, I keep having problems in all of these D&D groups I've joined, and it's the same problems every time. And it's like, well, the only common denominator between each of these groups is you. So there is theoretically the possibility that it is you, but in this particular Jasper.
I know, I was going to say, failing all of that, just ask one of us. Like, we've got a pretty good, like, I feel like we've got a pretty good read on stuff. Join the Discord, ask the group. Like, we've got some really wholesome and lovely people. They will take care of you if you're struggling.
And I do have to give a shout out to one of the players who did actually check up on me mid game, which then reinforced the fact, like, ah, yes, this behavior was out of line. Like, they were like, are you okay? Like, they're messaging me privately. Just like, yeah, that's a clear indication that something is wrong.
And I think that raises a really good point, Jeremy, which is that as players, you have an onus to take care of fellow players as well, you know, as much as the DM, because I think that this is a group storytelling. We often talk about trying to take some of the pressure and weight off of the DM, because otherwise it's a bit of a kind of thankless task, and you won't ever, you'll only improve the game by the more sort of input you have. Yeah. And so I think that as a player, if you recognize some behavior that is straight up just not cool, it's fine to call it out. Like, you absolutely should call it out, even if it's not directly implementing you. If you feel like someone's being treated unfairly, or if you feel like someone's stepped across a boundary, absolutely you should call that out, and you should check in with that person, exactly like what happened with Jeremy, because it will help to validate that experience and that feeling, and hopefully make everyone feel that little bit more safe. I always feel good when, you know, people check in with me, whether it's as a player or as a DM, you know, like after a session and saying, oh, that was really cool, or that didn't really work for me, or, that made me feel a bit weird. Like,
I want to quit your game now.
Yeah, that happens all the time, guys.
A lot of turnover in Jasper's games, folks.
Yeah, it's wild. The only two that are still here is Jeremy and Yanati, and that's because they kind of can't leave because we do a show together. But I don't know.
He did threaten he would release all of the edited unedited audio.
I've got dirt on you.
Strong political opinions. Some really strong wrong political opinions have been expressed.
I endorse the statement. Just want to, for the record, just to be clear.
Unati has some hot takes. Let me tell you. Some piping hot takes.
And she is a big influencer with the amount of money that she currently has, the wealth that she is sitting on. She is influencing global politics.
Not all of these jewels have been ethically sourced. Let's just put it that. Let's leave it at that.
No,
we won't say.
No.
We won't say.
How am I turning to Jeff Bezos now? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Luyandi Unati Lewis Bezos.
I'm like the most eat the rich person you could find.
She is a true robber baron. She's a true robber baron.
That's incredible. But I think to talk back about the conflict, because I think that it can be very difficult sometimes, I think, to identify, because I think sometimes it can feel like, as a player, and I don't know if you have ever felt this, there is lots of little things which just kind of ebb away at you feeling more like comfortable at a table. Like, I think that's also a valid thing, that it doesn't have to be like some big blowout moment where the DM screams at you or something, that sometimes, like, you know, you, like, quite often it can feel like, I don't know, a DM just invalidating your character or the choices that you make or whatever, and that can feel very personal. Like, you know, I find in games that I play in all the time, I find it very kind of difficult sometimes when I've made a decision and it goes like wildly wrong. I find it difficult to like then separate that, you know, afterwards and upon reflection and whatever, I obviously come round to it, etc. But I think that that's when the group then can support you and, do you know what I mean, hold you and make you feel, you know, and usually, you know, you come around, you, oh, that was actually really entertaining, or do you know what I mean, whatever, and it's all a good laugh. But like, I remember when I first started playing, Jeremy, and that experience of like when I fully whiffed as I jumped out of a tree, you know, and everyone like uproared in laughter. And I remember being like, oh man, I really screwed up. Oh man. Like, oh, man. Like,
oh, geez,
you know, but then,
Rick. Oh, geez,
oh, no,
oh,
Rick, geez, what, oh, no, what I do? like, I, honest to God, it's so funny that Morty genuinely lives in my head sometimes. Just, there is fully a Morty inside my brain that's just, oh no, what'd you do that for? Oh no.
Oh, geez.
But that's when the you know, that you have the support of people around you, and I think we've said it a few times already, like knowing the group that you're in, knowing the players that are around you and trusting them is like a big part of that. And I think if you ever really find yourself questioning whether there is a supportive group around you, like I feel like that's the first red flag. Do you know what I mean? For me, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like it would be worrying for me. Yeah, it'd be worrying for me if I ever find myself going, is this group, like, you know, are we aligned in our, like, feelings, do you know what I mean, towards certain things, etc. Then, you know, and that can be difficult if you haven't had discussions before the game, etc.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Do you guys have any experiences of because, like,
yep.
That slow ebbing away of...
yep.
I've been pretty fortunate. You go ahead, Jeremy. Because I feel like you got a lot on your chest, so... Yeah.
This is Jeremy's... This is Jeremy's therapy.
It wasn't meant to be, but it has very quickly devolved into me just telling stories about the same campaign. So before any actual yelling occurred, I think the second red flag was when I created my character and the DM. Now, this was a really cool thing. I think I may have mentioned this or something like this once on the show before, but the DM, once everybody had created their characters, wrote like in-character backstories for everybody.
Oh, I remember those versions.
Which on paper sounds like a good idea. I think where the DM went wrong is they never actually consulted the players on what they were putting in these backstories. And so before I had ever even, I did not know most of the people in this game going in. And before I had ever even gotten to play my character or met even the other players, my character was in a romance with one of the other PCs that I'd never met their player. I knew nothing about their character. This was, because it was written in the first person, it was like the personality was completely unlike what I would have wanted for the character. And it suddenly felt like a lot was shoved onto my character by the DM because of how they conceived of it. And look, I am all for collaboration between players and DMs when creating characters, but this needs to be a conversation, not a lecture. And this was very much the DM being like, here. And I'm like, whoa, hey, no, this is actually the opposite of a lot of what I would have done. I don't like this person. I mean, look, this is an entertaining character, but I don't want to play them. This is not who my character is. And it's now canon now for how I met some of these other characters. And like, I had to have a conversation and the DM kind of budged a little bit, but I basically just ignored most of what was in the backstory.
Is not where you want to be, because you want to be able to emotionally invest and like, you know, in the character, etc.
Yeah. And one other player in that game actually told me later that they had basically had to change their whole concept of the character to a degree because of what the DM had written in their particular backstory. And they had a completely different image for the character in their mind. Now, they did a great job with this adjusted version of the character, but DMs, have a conversation, please have a conversation. The players are the ones playing the characters.
There's one scenario in which I think that that is kind of possible, and I think it's almost a sort of what's happening with Wagadu in our campaign, which is whereby, like, you as a DM have now gotten to know us over the course of many, many, many hours of playing and can make very informed decisions based on the kind of clues and things that we as players have dropped for you. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And even then, I feel like you would 100% be open to one of us just going, like, that little thing that you that wasn't quite right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like there is maybe like that scenario. I think I've done it a couple times where maybe with a player we just haven't had time to flesh a certain thing out and we end up getting a little bit further in a story, so I kind of almost have to sort of wing a bit of backstory or something. But again, I'm only doing that with paying as much respect to whatever the player has brought to me in the first place. I'm never like going out like on a basic description and writing. I mean, the romance for me, that's like a big no-no.
That's kind
like,
of
do,
crazy.
Do not ever push and ship players together as a DM. That's not okay. That's a conversation that needs to happen. That is definitely in triggering territory for people.
Yeah.
And you know,
just don't do it.
Doesn't.
If the players want, if the PCs want to have a romance, and that's what the players initiate,
100%.
By all means. But
if
you're going to introduce a romance, introduce an NPC, please.
Yeah,
just say
that's so
introduce
much
an NPC, not one of the PCs.
I mean, I've on occasion because sometimes in Fetlander, like I have guest players. Well, they essentially fulfill the role of like narrative sort of drivers. Sometimes I need them to come in and just help along another character, like I said, who doesn't really have a backstory. So I'm using them. It's facilitating a kind of narrative device for me that's quite open.
I'm happy to guest if that's what you're asking.
Okay,
cool,
sure.
Fine.
Yes.
I'm
assuming my invite's in the
pile. I'm frankly insulted that I haven't been asked yet.
It's coming.
I feel like
just everyone got. I'm now considering
that when I am inevitably asked, that I refuse. I may refuse.
What do you
out of
What
protest.
Do you mean you've had Brennan Lee Mulligan and Jeff Kanata on already and not us? Sorry, what were you saying?
No, just my mate. But I mean, only then have I kind of like been like, these are the things that I kind of need your character to do. The rest is yours. Like, I don't really care who your character is. I don't care what class they are. I'll just kind of be like, you might want to go for variant human or changeling just because I don't know how I'm going to explain you in the world. But if you're anything else. But then one of my players was like, well, I want to be a Warforged. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have to figure out how to put a Warforged in this. But fine. Okay, cool. We'll do it. Mm. And then that's how a whole like little Full Metal Alchemist story came about, which helped me like, not on the nose give one of my other players information about his backstory and move the intrigue forward. Like, but you can kind of do that. You can, I'm like, I think like in that regard, like if you want to give a player that's maybe struggling with backstory, or you want like a new player who's coming to join your campaign, you're like, you'd really be helping me out if you kind of just took these three little points and just ran with them a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then you leave them alone with 80% of the rest of the thing. Like, you do not railroad an entire character.
Yeah, because there's definitely scenarios where you go, hey, look, my party really needs like an experienced cleric.
Demi,
would you mind, like, just for a couple sessions, just come in and
show them how it's done.
Just come on, just come in and healing word, you know, just a couple times, cure wounds.
So they understand how those spells work.
Yes, please, 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 please. I did have one thought, and this is for DMs out there who I think, and I've fallen into this, not fallen into it, but like I fall into a scenario where like I might have been disappointed by an arc that I'd planned or something like that. And I think I can understand the temptation for some DMs to really kind of want to mold the campaign a little more. And I think that is perfectly fine and valid. But it has to be set out at the beginning so that, again, we're all kind of aware of the kind of campaign that we're hoping to get when we come into it. Because, you know, I 95% of the time, I think games start because someone goes, oh, I've got a really cool idea for this thing that I want to play this game with you guys. Would you be up for it? So most players come in thinking like, I want to play whatever you want to present sort of thing. So if you come in saying, hey, like I kind of want you to play like these characters because you have this, you know, grandiose idea of these four heroes and, you know, or you're doing like a Lord of the Rings retelling or a whatever, like that's, you can be in that scenario, like you can be prescriptive and kind of almost just give the the players' like characters like to act, you know, that's fine. It's just a very different kind of campaign. Yeah. And it's something that you need to set out at the beginning so that you don't then fall into this like icky place of then telling the players everything. And I think, again, like Unati said, once you've handed over the reins of the characters, then you've got to trust the player.
Like,
then you've got
to trust the player. None of your business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you've got to trust the player to run with whatever you
give them. And they found lovely stuff. He was like, his voice mechanism isn't working, which then had to get one of my other players involved to help him really tell the message. It was great. It made for great storytelling.
Yeah. And you never would have...
stuff that I would have thought of.
Yeah, you wouldn't have come up with that. So it enriches the game. How many times? I mean, do you reckon we've said? How many times?
Yep.
Between the three of us, have we said it makes the game better or enriches the game?
Please make a supercut of every time we say, it just makes the game better.
It turns out we've recorded like 700 hours of footage, and it's 300 hours is just us saying that one, like a variation of that
phrase. Most of the episodes, most of what is cut is us like repeating the phrase, makes the game better, with blank looks on our faces. It's
just
really unsettling.
The greater good type.
Val Kilmer going, consider the source.
It makes the game better. It improves the game experience. I think most of these conflicts are pretty much the majority of conflicts I think that arise during a game are resolved via communication, clear, respectful communication. First of all, as a DM, you need to try and create, I think we've said this before, you need to try and create an environment in which players feel comfortable coming to you with issues that they may have with something in the game. But players, even if the DM has not created such an environment, in that situation, you may need to just advocate for yourself, or the players may need to band together to try and advocate.
Band of heroes.
Yes, or a union, or a labor union.
Yes, a labor union.
We, the players' union, do not enjoy the amount of railroading and lack of attention to backstory that has been present in this campaign thus far.
I think
that's very funny.
But when it sort of comes to like what I sort of do when it comes to rules conflict at my table, which I've never really encountered that much, but I have two really like seasoned DMs at my table, which I very much welcome. I'm like, please, yes, please. I cannot know all things. Thank you. What I tend to do is, it's never like I have a little thing in my head that I've never used yet, and it's just a timer. Just go, if we're going to talk about this for more than 3 minutes, then we're done, because we're not going to spend 15 minutes of a 3 hour
and you
session.
You just decide, you're the DM, right?
Hmm?
You just decide.
And
right?
As a DM, I just go, that's what's happening this session. You can talk to me about it afterwards, and going forward, I will do it the other way. But just kind of go, eventually, we're not going to derail into a 30 minute like debate about the rules when we only have 3.5 hours to play, because one player's in Singapore, the other's in Japan, two are in South Africa, and one's in like London, and the other's in Edinburgh. Wow. So what is that? People need to go to
that's
bed.
A puzzle.
What is time? Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I would say on that, the rules thing is interesting, because I feel like I definitely am a fast and loose with the rules kind of, if it's cool, if it's a rule of cool thing, then I'm like, yeah, why the hell not? Like, that's fine. I have let Dennis Coldspring get away with some mighty fun moves just because I'm like, yeah, why not? Hell yeah. But I think the one thing that I would say is it's about consistency, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to change a rule, or if you're going to say something, and this is like, this is a tricky one for a DM, because you can not do this on purpose, and so be prepared the players might call you out on this, and you could, you know, just hold your hands up and be like, yep, you're right, that I said that before in a previous session, so we'll stick to that. But it's just about being consistent. If you're going to change anything that they're not familiar with, or that they don't understand, then it's literally just about making sure that the next time that thing occurs, that it's the same thing. So then you're not singling anyone out. You're not like, you're not causing a conflict by basically saying, oh, it's fine when they do it, but it's not fine when you do it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, there's, but the rules things can be tricky, especially when you're playing with like a whole, you know, Zoom or table full of DMs, you know, it can feel like a landmine. You're like, oh, geez. Yeah. Okay.
But I mean,
oh, geez, Rick. Oh, I don't know, geez. This game.
I've never had like really like aggressive rules lawyers at my table. I just find like Harry and Ellie are both just sort of like, I don't want to beat that guy, and then they just like just gently kind of go, no, that's not quite how that works, and like explain something, and then I really don't mind if it takes 30 seconds or less. I don't care. Yeah. It's not breaking flow of story. I don't care if you come at me while I'm in the middle of a beautiful monologue between Shaka Zulu and Mujaji the Rain Queen, and I'm bringing in my six warriors, and then you tell me that they can't fly into the room that way, then we're gonna have words. It's like, no.
Yeah. Well, hell yeah, that's an important one, though. That is definitely an important one, because that has happened a few times, whether as a DM or as a player, and you feel like you're just getting into the flow. Like, let people have their moments, everyone. Do you know what I mean? Let people just take a seat, just listen for a minute. Someone's given a, you know, it doesn't matter if they're given a 2-minute monologue just to cast Bardic Inspiration. Let them have their thing.
They thought about it.
I mean, well, if it's a two, yeah.
Like, yeah, no, they're going to be like, listen.
I'm talking as like, you know, you're about to go into a big thing, and do you know
and
what I
mean? And
they've
just like, really found some steam, and they've got a good monologue going, and they're figuring it. Just let them do it.
Triumphant moment for the character.
Just let them have
unless,
it.
Unless it is absolutely hilarious, in which case, derail it.
Yes, by all means. Ruin.
Yeah, absolutely eviscerate. No, definitely don't do that. Don't do that.
As a DM, it can be very funny when it's sad, but it's also very funny when a player does something like a really epic piece of RP and then the role just utterly flubs.
Yeah.
And it's like, cool, so you do all that and
you trip over on the way to getting to saying it. Yeah. Like, yeah. You know, it's like, I often find that's something that I will be quite lenient on. Like, not lenient, but like, I will like heavily lower a DC, or I will like kind of mentally, okay, like, okay, I'll give them almost like a +5 here if I feel like they do something particularly cool. Just because you want to reward good role play. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be like, oh, sure, you completely failed to persuade them, even though you made an incredibly convincing argument. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, it makes logically less sense that they would not go, do you know what I mean? Like, then there comes a point where you kind of have to, as a DM, go, okay,
oh, fuck the DC.
There's a way you can make it.
The other thing is that you just lean in and make that part of that person's character. Like, this person has made an incredibly good argument, and this NPC, they roll too low. And it's like, okay, the NPC is honestly just kind of a jerk. Like, this NPC is a bit of a fool.
Yeah,
we have
that's
discovered
actually
a
very
flaw
good
in this person.
Yeah, that's a very good way around that potentially.
I wanted to say on the topic of conflict. Okay, so rules conflict is one that is definitely, as we said, that's something that needs to be a conversation, I think, up front. I think as a DM, it's possible to lose the trust of your players if you change things around and play too fast and loose in ways that seem inconsistent and potentially unfair. And that's where you run into real problems, because then you'll have a situation where the players now are like following your every move. Like, I was in a game one time where it became clear that the DM was not keeping track, not only of initiatives, but also of HP for characters. And so the whole group started tracking HP, like how much damage we had done. Because it became like this really tense thing, because every time we're in combat, we're like feeling like the DM is going to try and swindle us by trying to manipulate stuff to basically make battles artificially harder. And it hurt the game as a whole, because now every combat, and not just combats, but if they'll do it in this area, what if they'll do it in other areas? And it becomes a situation where people, the metagaming is, it's not even really metagaming necessarily, because it's like you're playing the game that has been set out before you. If everything in this world double crosses you, you're going to have the idea that like everything is potentially a foe, and people are going to be a lot less trusting and more difficult to play with.
And it's going to ruin the moments of like, you know, you're not going to want to like do an investigation check to see if you can find like a shortcut do you know what I mean? Because you're just like, well, we're just going to end up still going the long way around, or do you know what I mean? Like I feel like part of the biggest part I find of the DM's job is that, because you plan your route, right? Like you plan an idea of kind of where people are going to go. Mm-hmm. The biggest part and the biggest struggle of a DM is how do you sufficiently reward players for good play? You're absolutely right. It completely undermines that that happening if you're just going to basically turn around and go, yeah, well, you did a really cool thing, but you know, you still suck. Like it'd be so. It's like, just so.
I once rolled a nat 20 on convincing someone of something. And it was like, and the DM still had a bad thing happen. And it was just like, oh, what? No. And it was just because they wanted it to happen. I think with my whatever it was like deception or something. I got like a 28. And the NPC I know did not beat that.
It doesn't like, so have a plus 8 to insight.
Well, the DM even said that I had passed. So like, for that to still happen was like, oh. And it wasn't like a logical thing off of what I had said. What I had said should have stopped this thing from happening. And it just created this moment of like, oh, okay, well, I guess that didn't matter then.
Yeah. Cool. I really do believe that like rewarding players is a more enjoyable experience for a DM than having the thing that you've planned come off. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I would much rather in that scenario be like, hell yeah, you saved that, you know, you did the thing and you like, do you know what I mean? Like, hell yeah, that happened. That's so much better because they're going to invest the more that you do that,
yeah.
You know, as opposed to then it just being constantly you telling a version of a story. Because otherwise you might as well just go write a book.
Exactly. Like, are you a narrator or are you like the other player, right? Like, what do you want to be? If you want to be the narrator, then write a novel.
Yeah. You might even in the short term feel like it's going to hurt your campaign, like to have your players do something cool that... Here's an example actually from one of my own games. So there was a changeling who had infiltrated the staff of an establishment where most of the PCs worked. And this changeling had turned on the rest of the group during a big battle, killed one of the PCs, and was in the process of fleeing. And this changeling had cast darkness and was like running through. So everybody has disadvantage on all their attacks against this person. Well, they had already been hurt once, but Unati rolling with disadvantage, Unati's character with a guiding bolt, with a guiding bolt, still hit them and like destroyed them. Like the amount of damage was like way more than they had left. And so I have to be, part of me is like, oh man, I really wanted this changeling to escape because now I have another piece that I can use in any number of ways. And it creates this sense of like this pervading sense of paranoia. Like they could be anywhere. We can't trust anybody. Well, here's the thing. She rolled fair and square. She beat the AC. She killed him. You gotta give it to her. You gotta give it to her. And by letting that happen, everybody was like, yeah, like the whole thing, you know, it was such a triumphant moment. Unati is straight fangirling for herself right now. She's squeeing with excitement right now while we're recording this. And that just lets you show that it was a better decision to let the people actually have fun. People play the game to feel awesome. Most people do not play Dungeons and Dragons to feel like a doofus. Like you don't want to be a chump. You want to win or like be cool. Yeah. And if a person fair and square does something cool, let them do the cool thing.
Yeah.
It's just got to happen. And absolutely. And look, cool stuff has happened since then. Like that change did not derail the campaign. Like people are still having a good time. And there's still a lot of story potential and stuff.
Yeah, I think that sums up pretty well. And I think that, again, just as, you know, listen to your players, like find out what your players like, find out what makes them tick, try and give them more of that, and you'll have less conflict to your table.
Yeah.
And then kill it, and then you'll have more drama.
Yeah. Yes.
Give them what they want, and then destroy it.
Yeah. So moving on, I think, because I think we've covered quite a lot of at the table experiences. If you have any kind of examples, then absolutely let us know, because I think that, we are limited to our own experiences and what we have seen, etc. So it would be interesting to know of what other experiences people have had where, you know, because even again, it can just be small tensions. And sometimes a lot of times for me, I know it's probably just like something you're perceiving, but necessarily not everyone is feeling, and so it's always good to talk to people and about those sorts of things. But moving on to in character to character tension, because I think this is an interesting one. I know that you've got an ongoing issue with this at the moment, Jeremy, with one of your PCs.
Oh, yes.
I'm pretty sure you were telling us about and the party just disliking it.
Oh.
I have some examples of this, and this was a DM blunder, like a full DM blunder, whereby be cautious and careful of where and how you introduce players to your party. This is a big piece of advice that I would give to you.
Is this the Dennis incident?
Where this is the Wildspark.
Dennis and Wildspark.
And it is because, and I think often I think starting a campaign or introducing new PCs to an established campaign is a very, very difficult thing. It's kind of easy if you know they're just going to be dipping in for a session, because I feel like the general idea of the players is like, okay, they're not going to be here for super long, so like, let's just kind of get to the bit where we get to have fun. Do you know what I mean? Whereas I think if it's in like someone you're bringing in as an established character, then you're sort of asking them to really slot in and to be a part of the party and etc. And so honestly, I would if you're starting a new campaign or if you haven't DM'd before, I would really recommend looking up starting arcs and journeys. Like if you don't want to just do the everyone meets at a tavern, you've all got a pint of ale in your hand, because the thing is, the reason why that's such a trope, right, is because it's a very easy way. It's a low threat situation where everyone is in every player is in a scenario where they probably can relate on some level to being in like a fun, friendly, social situation. And you just get to talk to, you know, the other PCs, you know what I mean? Because they happen to be sat across the table or across the bar, or they're the barman or whatever it is. There's a reason why the tavern works. Mm-hmm. But if you don't want to do the tavern, I really recommend looking at what other people have used, because if you introduce the players in a high tension sort of situation, you've either got to make it so that they will not survive without each other, or you are likely to run into conflict. Because
tell the story, Jasp. Tell the story. You're dancing all around it. Just jump in, buddy.
I am. I'm doing it. Oh, jeez. I don't want to tell them about the story, Rick. Oh, no.
If you don't, I will.
Yeah, exactly.
My finger's on the button.
No, Rick, don't press it. No, we had
definitely the Rick to your Morty, I think.
100%. 100%. So basically, we had an established campaign where we had three characters, and I tried foolishly. I think I introduced two characters in one session.
Yeah.
In one session. And like looking back, I am like, what on earth was I thinking? So basically, one of my characters, Wildspark, had come to me and said, basically, like, he wants to play like a full Sherlock Holmes. And the thing is, I will say about Pete, is he is one of my favorite and loveliest friends, but man, does he commit to a bit. And like, he came in and was like, I'm going to play full Sherlock Holmes, like all of the good bits and all of the bad bits. So he came in as this tabaxi rogue who basically, like, a full min-max the hell out of his character, so that he has like a 26 to like passive perception, or it's like stupid, like plus 12s or something already.
So just doesn't miss a trick and super hard to get along with. And in my head, I was just like, this was still my first campaign. I hadn't run like another campaign before this. And I just thought, PCs just get along. That's how it works. And so I was like, okay, cool. You're Sherlock Holmes. Let's have a murder that you have to solve. And so what I did was I took one of the NPCs that all of my PCs and one in particular was very, very attached to, and I very unceremoniously killed them outside of the PC's control completely. There was nothing they could do about it. It was like a big, like, they basically just woke up in the middle of the night and was like, oh, you're like, one of your best friends is dead now.
Yeah.
And then this Sherlock Holmes turns up and is a complete asshole. Just like, look, I'm going to solve this. You don't even need to get involved. And literally the whole party was like, I mean, I want to kill him. and it was a very hype. And this is the thing that I didn't account for, which is that the other players, everyone bought their A game that session. Like, I remember as a DM, I was so panicked that I didn't enjoy it at all. But looking back, I was like, that was one hell of a session.
It was a really good session.
I don't know whether people enjoyed it, but like, it was one hell of a session.
I liked it. It was cool. Very memorable.
The thing is, everyone committed to the scenario that was at hand, which was one of our close friends, one of our close allies has been killed in the middle of the night. And this incredibly arrogant guy shows up and is just seemingly pushing people's buttons on purpose in much the same way that Sherlock Holmes does. And the thing I didn't account for is the emotional reaction of Jinxon. So Johnny, the incredible guy behind our music, plays a character called Jinxon, has been friends with this character for a long time. It was a character that I played in a previous campaign. It's a whole thing. And he is like this fun-loving bard, and you know what I mean? And it was the craziest thing. He committed to this so hard where I was like, oh my God, Johnny's actually pissed off. Like, he's actively, I really questioned. I was like, I don't know if Jinxon's pissed off or Johnny is pissed off that I've killed his best friend. And he just went like, nope, I'm going to go and find this person, whoever did this, and I'm going to kill them. I walk out. And I literally was like, I walk out into the street, and I was like, oh, but we haven't even said hello to the other two people that, oh god, okay. and so it was just me scrambling for like 3 hours until it culminated where basically they had tracked down on a boat what they thought was the source of the killer, or had something to do with the killer. They're like, right, we're gonna go to the boat, and Jinxon was like, I'm gonna go to the boat and sink it. And I was like, oh geez, okay, cool. And then Wildspark basically got them, was like, no, we categorically shouldn't sink this boat because we need to search it for clues. And Jinxon was like, if you get in my way, I'm gonna cut you down. And Dennis was like, yep, I'm gonna back him up. And so we just fully rolled initiative on PvP for these two characters who I introduced for their first ever session with me.
Yeah, I will say, what also did it for Dennis was that Dennis came from the Wu-Tang clan, a clan of people who are secret, very secret, that no one knows about almost. And Dennis, that's like part of, like, Dennis wouldn't tell people where he was from. He wouldn't tell people why he could speak telepathically, even though he's a halfling, like all this stuff. And somehow this dude shows up and knows not only that Dennis can speak telepathically, even though Dennis has never done it in his presence, but he also knew about Dennis's clan. And like, that was like on Dennis's radar, like, I got to take this dude out. Like, yeah. There is a leak right now, yeah. And this is a threat. So any excuse, I will end this man.
Yeah. And literally, it fully was. I had to do a Deus Ex pet moment where basically they were all fighting on the back of this, on the back of Jinxon has a pet drake called Leanthe, and basically got to the point where the drake was just like, I have had enough of this, and just threw them all off of like her back, alerting everyone on the boat and kind of breaking up the dispute. So they had to kind of take care of what was happening on the boat, and then sort of came to a mutual standing afterwards. But the big lesson I think for me here was partly like, okay, you need to be conscious of player balance. And so, and this has been one of the hardest things about introducing Wildspark's character, because it's so broken. It was really hard for me to balance then making the other party feel like they had agency and control. And because if he rolled a history check, he was probably going to roll like a 20, you know, because
he never rolls below a 20 on investigation and perception. Like he rolls well on them as well. In addition to his like plus 11, he also rolls really well on all of those.
Yeah. And so there's a real lesson to be learned about A, how you introduce characters, B, how you kind of reward characters. And now I've started, now I've had to relook up my game as a DM and I go, okay, there are some details that are necessary for narrative. But like, it's but like into PC layer. Conflict though,
to add
is
a layer
is a tricky,
that's gonna make him feel like he's getting something
like gelling a party is tricky. Do you know what I mean?
Me,
it's not.
Yeah, for me, it's been like with this latest one, we're getting closer and closer. Part of it is that the players themselves want to be a party at some point. So like they're willing to, because let's be real. There's any number of choices in most situations that a PC could make realistically. So they're nudging, a lot of them are nudging their characters in that direction. So like the player of this particular PC is like, he's like taking this, he's taking this approach where he's trying to convince the agency he works for to start working more in the areas that the rest of the party lives, so that he can be like, because he's like, oh, look, the people in this region hate us. They don't respect us at all. We got to go in there. And then I am like, ah, yes, yes. And also, we can get tax breaks for the stuff we're doing in this part of the world. And it won't be that big of a commitment of manpower and cost on our part. Let's do that. And then he's like, sure. And then like it is built into like, so now he's trying to open, he's got like a task force that he's trying to open in that particular, in their area. So that he could be like, I'm in your area. I know the first two numbers. Sorry, I had a death grips moment there. Anyway, he's it's like we're nudging in that direction. Yeah. And then I'm trying to put more stuff in to be like, hey, maybe you guys can get involved with some of his associates so you have more excuses to talk to each other. But it's like it's a group effort.
But I mean, for me, sort of, what's really resonated is just kind of giving me somebody to hate more than I hate him. Andre can die as far as I'm concerned.
His brother Andre.
I'm like, you know what? I see now why you're the way that you are. You had to live with that. So, okay. You get a pass for now.
What's really great about it is Andre, almost all of the most hateful things that he said have been when he's only talking to his brother, but everybody else hears it. So everybody else, like all the, not the other PCs, but the other players, and they're like, oh, this guy. So when he finally shows up and meets their characters, they're all already like, they've got the knives out, like ready to jump in there. And so even the slightest bit of disrespect from his end just hits way harder.
I mean, like, that is legit a good piece of advice. Give them something else to hate, like, or give them something else to squabble about. Like, that is...
Redirect.
I mean, that's the only way that we resolved that conflict with what you and Wildspark was that you found a bad guy that was
worse. Yeah, you redirected. It's like, okay, cool, we have to work together to kill this guy.
Yeah.
And now we're on mostly good terms. I think at this point, he's planning to potentially have to take my character out as I become more and more Lex Luthor-like.
There is definitely a power struggle there. But I think there's like a bunch of different ways to negotiate potentially like player or PC conflict, I guess. And like, I think common goal is a very good one. Naming, just deciding as a DM that both of their mums are named Martha. That's really good, I've heard.
One of the best plot twists, I think, universally loved. One of the most universally loved and praised plot twists.
Before you cancel TB Halflings on Twitter, I want to let you know that we are being as satirical as possible. I think Unati is actually walking off of... Yeah, she's walking. She's gone. She's leaving.
Unati's gone.
She's leaving.
No.
She's taking the headphones off.
No.
She's out.
This is the first time ever hearing of somebody not liking that twist. I've heard nothing but praise from every outlet. Roger Ebert came back to life just to give it two thumbs up. That's how good it was.
I'm slightly concerned that the Snyder cut of Justice League has cost £70 million. This just isn't what you said that there was just another movie in the cut that you just needed to re-edit. It doesn't cost £70 million to re-edit a thing. Anyway, I digress. Look, if you're out there and you like the twist, that's totally fine. You're allowed to have that opinion. But we at Three Black Halflings do not share it.
Do we?
We do not endorse that.
Have there been Have there been more that I've only of the DCEU movies that I've seen, I think two of them have been good. I think the only two that I thought were good were Shazam and the first Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't. I liked two thirds. So I would say I like one and two thirds of DC movies, because the end of Wonder Woman, I was like,
it was not perfect, but it was overall pretty good.
Mostly it was just because they CGI'd the dude's mustache underneath the suit of armor and it just looked so stupid. I was like, I'm so out. I have been pulled so thoroughly out of this movie now that I'm actively not enjoying it anymore. That was such a strong choice that you made to add a CGI mustache underneath this ancient, like, Greek god's armor. It was just, man, that was a choice.
It's strong but wrong. Like Strong, Unati's political opinions.
Dude.
You know, I'm so excited to see whether Jade lets that stay.
I haven't been specific about anything.
But it's dangerous.
Someone's going to cut that together with something else and then boom, you know, he's gone. She's canceled.
Jeremy Cobb does not endorse not only any of Unati's imaginary political opinions, but also any hatred that gets directed towards Unati for completely joke. She's never said anything that was offensive, but a joke that I am making right now.
It's important in 2021 to clarify
that. That's scary, but it is important
to clarify that.
Yes.
There is a slight point, actually, I think, and maybe this will be one of the last points that we make, but which is that, like, I think one thing that we have learned in 2020 is that the world is a bit of it's a very tense and scary place at the moment. And, like, I think you do have to, as a player and as a DM, when it comes to a narrative storytelling game, need to be aware that there are a myriad of different things that people might find difficult. Be open. You do not have to have learnt or be learned. You know, I know I am not. I learn so much every single week we do this show, and every single time we have a guest on, you know, I kind of go, oh, right, okay, that's something that I should have identified earlier, or that's something that I will now identify sooner, you know, etc. So don't feel like you have to know all of the answers, but be prepared to listen and understand, because, like, a lot of the time you will end up saying something or whatever, which will almost certainly cause someone some discomfort. Do you know what I mean? There will be things on this show that we have probably said or probably will say that might cause someone some discomfort. And all we can do is be open to when that person then gives us feedback and hope that we create a safe enough community in which they feel comfortable to just be like, hey, you know what you just said? That was some bullshit.
It's an opportunity to take an L and turn it into a W with time. Mm. You just got to take the L. Recognize this is, and I've said this before, but especially for DMs, but also for players, consider the possibility that you are wrong. When somebody is coming to you with a complaint, consider that possibility and look through hypothetically, like treat it seriously and try and treat them with as much respect and consideration as possible, because you never know. The fact is you don't know what you don't know in most cases. Yeah. So you can be unaware of the things that you don't know.
Yes.
In 100%, in fact, let me amend that. In 100% of cases, you don't know what you don't know. And in many cases, you won't be aware of what you don't know.
Yeah.
Like that you don't know something. So be very careful to take those issues seriously and treat people with respect. And that will go a long way towards accomplishing what Jasper is saying, where if somebody does come to you with a complaint and you take them seriously, you're much more likely to have a good outcome than if you blow them off and are rude to them and mistreat them and that sort of thing.
Yeah, if someone says that perhaps you have made a mistake, the first thing not to do is double down. I can understand the sensation of wanting to do that, right? I think it's a defensive mechanism of just being like, well, I'm not wrong. No, I'm definitely not wrong. You've just misinterpreted what I've said, or do you know what I mean? It's very, very easy to go on that kind of thing. And people, you know, most people I know I've done it in the past, and I should have just been like, nope, shut up and listen. And, you know, so it's, it, and you know, because we actually as a group and as a community and as a wider society have to get out of the habit of just like insta canceling someone for you know, making a mistake. We have to invite them and give them the option to, you know, take ownership of it, take the L, you know what I mean, and give them a chance to turn into a W. Not in every case, obviously. There are some things which are inexcusable, like, you know, cheating on dice or something. You know what I mean? How dare you?
Must be burned at the
stake.
That's
actually a good thing as well. Use the game log. If you have any questions, use the game log on D&D Beyond.
D&D Beyond just introduced this feature. Yes.
Hell yeah.
Roll
on the site, and then everyone can see your rolls and everyone can enjoy those nat 20s and commiserate those nat 1s. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, take away that pressure of, you know, because also... This is a thing for me. Like, I generally think I might have to start rolling on the thing, because there have been times, like in the last session we had, like I was rolling nothing but 17s and upwards. Like, it was crazy.
Mooty's rolls are consistently outstanding.
Like, it's on a session by session basis. I would say like 6 out of 9 sessions have been absolutely outstanding, but the other 3 have been total garbage. But like, I as a player, like, I get more tempted to fudge it down because I'm like, they're never going to believe that I've rolled that again. Do you know what I mean? Because I remember there was a session where you gave me disadvantage on 2 rolls and I rolled 2 15s and then like 2 16s.
Yeah.
And I was like, they're just not going to believe that happened again. Should I just lie and take the L?
You know? You just give yourself an L.
Yeah, like, just I'll just take this. Oh, geez, Rick, I'll just take this.
Oh, just give me the L, Rick. Just give me the L.
Give me the L, Rick. It's easier to deal with. but
like
I really hope
black
people
therapists
have...
right now.
This really has been. Yonata, you're next. we're gonna therapize you next.
Yeah, we got you, because it's been me and Jasper. That's true. It's been 1 black therapist, 2 black patients.
Yeah. Jeremy, you do genuinely look lighter in your seat after this episode. You look like you've shifted some, there's been some things that you...
There's so much more I can say.
You need...
There's so much more.
Oh, no. I'm saying a little bit lighter. Like, you look a little, you've just let go of some, you know, you've risen in your seat a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, the pressure's just not on you so much.
Yeah, folks. Well, tell you what, I have. It's really the only. It's the primary D&D horror story that I've ever had, and perhaps it will be meted out in continued bits. I want to be clear. Not everything that I mentioned was from that particular campaign in this episode. In fact, a lot of it wasn't. So I will leave it to you guys to, over time, piece together the story of what happened with this campaign. It'll be one of those things, like, over the years, I just keep letting out little bits of what happened.
But don't worry, what we will do is we will release the full thing as an adventure on the DM's Guild eventually.
Yes, the Snyder Cut. It'll be the full Snyder Cut of what happened on that campaign.
Wow, I think that's a perfect note on which to end this episode.
The worst possible note.
Oh, man. But thank you for listening to this. Please feel free to tell us if you've had any instances. Tell us how you dealt with it. If you found any particular ways that are useful of dealing with conflict, especially in instances where pre-established rules were not in place, because I think we've sort of covered what to do before a game. But obviously, I think a lot of the examples we're talking about are when situations arise, you know, having not maybe had that conversation beforehand. So we'd love to hear from you. Hit us up on the Discord. There'll be, as always, links in the description below. And we will see you next week. So long, Shire folk.
So long, Shire folk.